Yes, indeed. It's good. God is good. God is good. And I'm telling you what, He has been more than good to me. Most of you have been walking with me and around me, and kind of some of you have been on the periphery, but still are kind of understanding where I'm at and what we've been going through as a family. And God has just been, you know how, you know, you get to this place and God just continues to bless you, and you're like, man, He's good. And then it kind of seems like there may be an end to how good He can get. There's no end to it. There's no end to it. And man, He's just really, really, really been keeping me. It's a little warm in here, but that's okay. You know, I was reflecting on Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 today. And it was just reflecting on how all the things that God made in their time is beautiful. Winter time. Some of us, we complain, right, when it's too cold outside. You know, and we pray for summer. But God says it's beautiful. There's beauty in it, right? When it's summertime, you're like, oh man, we're ready for fall now because it's hot and humid. But it's beauty in it. It's beauty in it, all right? We go through struggles. We go through good times, bad times, ups and downs. And God wants us to know that it's all beautiful. And in that same verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, he talks about how he placed eternity in our hearts. Eternity. There's a yearning down, deep down inside of each one of us for something more, for something greater, something deeper, something everlasting. Sometimes we get distracted by the things that are going on around us and we lose sight of it. But once we turn off that TV and we sit around and we listen to the birds and we allow the breeze to come by and hit our skin and we sit back and we get just a glimpse of eternity. He placed it in our hearts. And so I want to, I'm in this season of preaching and teaching where God has me, He gives me a central text, but we're going to be all over the place today, so I hope you're ready. And I didn't bring my iPad today, so you know I'm New King James when I don't bring my iPad. All right?
She's fine.
Thank you, baby. All right. So, let's pray. And then we're going to jump right into this thing, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your love and for your grace and for your mercy and for your truth and for your discipline and for everything that you've brought us through and all the things that you are bringing us to. God, help us to trust you more. We welcome your presence here in this place, Lord God. Change us, mold us, shape us. Help us to be who you created us to be. Lord, I pray that this message, Lord God, would do just that. That it would help us to become who it is you want us to become. We ask it in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was preparing for this message, God has just like just been dumping scripture on me. You know, I'm going through a season where it's time for me to, like I've been telling you, do more, be more, you know, for the King. And so I've just been studying and praying and worshiping and walking and listening and doing all of these different things. And God has been just like literally just inundating my mind with scripture. And so the scripture that he gave me, it was more of a portion of scripture. And it was, with God, all things are possible. Because I was looking at, he was like, no, you can use this if you want to. It's like, with God, all things are possible. Because I'm looking at my finances. I'm looking at my relationships. I'm looking at the struggles that I've been through this year. I'm looking at specifically my relationships with my wife, with my kids, my career. I'm just analyzing all of these things. And some days I'm good and I'm encouraged. But then other days, I'm a little bit concerned. I'm a little anxious. And I'm like, God, how am I going to do this? And I just keep hearing this. With God, all things are possible. I don't know what it is that you're facing. I don't know what it is that's going on with you right now. But with God, I'm telling you right now that with God, all things are possible. If you focus only on you, if you focus only on your strength, if you focus only on your weaknesses, if you focus only on the immediate environment that's happening right now, you're going to lose sight of this truth that with God, all things are possible. So, as I'm going through this thing, and I'm going to go ahead and jump into the scripture now because I'm just ready to run. This has just been on me. You know, my wife has been having to deal with just, you know, intermittent outbursts of joy and insight. And so here it is. Okay. We're in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. I guess it would help if I told you where the scripture was at, right? Matthew chapter 19, we're going to read verses 16 through 26 today. And then we may go a few different places. We'll see what the Holy Spirit does. You know, as I was talking to another pastor yesterday, and he was asking me about my sermon preparation procedures and techniques. And I was like, yeah, I don't have any. No, I have a whole like litany of different ways that I prepare to preach and teach. And I haven't found one that just fits every occasion. So by default, I read and study my Bible, I pray and I worship and I listen. And so that's what I did. And I wrote probably about 5 pages of notes. But see, I didn't bring that, so you don't have to worry about that today. Okay. So I did study a lot. All right, so we're in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. I'm reading from the New King James, if you want to follow along word for word. If not, you can read whichever version that you have or that you like. But we're going to start right here at verse 16. It says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good?'" This is Jesus speaking. "No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I said to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." So this is going to be like the central text that I want to come from today. And the Bible, for you Bible scholars out there who really like try to like deep, some people are afraid to jump into the deep end. Some people, you know, when you go swimming and you got like the 3 foot to the 6 foot pool, and then you got the deep, you know, the one you jump off the diving board, 20-foot pool. If you ever venture out of the pool that comes up to here and you jump into the deep end, you'll find that there's no bottom to like the scripture. You know what I'm saying? Like you can just keep going and studying and studying and studying, and it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And so that's what happened to me in this text. So I said, I'm not even bringing these notes with me because you know what? It's going to be too much. So there's a lot here. So I encourage you after the message to go study it. Take a week out at least and just kind of like dive deeper into some of the concepts that I'm going to look at, but it's deep. So as I'm studying this is what God says to me, though. And the past few messages that I've been here, I've challenged everyone that was here, right? Well, here come Andre. Is he going to challenge us today? Absolutely. This one's rough. It's not as rough as some of the past ones, but it's kind of rough. Okay, and so, but this is how God hit me, like, with it. Okay? He said, let's go back to the text, and I'm gonna tell you when I heard it. This is what it says. It says verse 16. It says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And so right here, I'm studying and I'm reading and I'm praying, and God said to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Are you coming to be taught? Or are you coming to be transformed?" Like that was the question that was dropped in my spirit. I was like, "Ooh, I'm gonna write this down. That sounds good. That sounds good. Share this with everybody." And then like all week he's just been working on that one phrase with me. So I'm gonna ask you, I'm gonna pose the question to you today. I know it's hot, but that's all a part of your transformation. God didn't even, see, sometimes we get so like caught up in being comfortable that we can't even enjoy the moment that God has us in. I believe that God is so meticulous, that He's so calculated, that even right now during this message, that the heat is being used for our edification. I believe that He's that type of God. I believe that He cares about those types of details. I believe that the AC, y'all could have had an AC if you wanted one. He said, maybe. No, I'm telling you. He's like, "We ain't going to get that far." He said, "Don't get them started now on me." I was like, right? Okay? But I believe that it's all part of God's edification and purpose. We want to be comfortable. I'm sorry to tell you. I talk to my kids about this all the time. And then as soon as I tell them, it bounces right back off and hits me in the face. God didn't call us to comfort. That is not why we are here on this earth. God gives us joys. He gives us blessings. But that is not our purpose. We are being conformed into His image. And we are going to experience a joy on the other side of earth in heaven that we can't even fathom. And He's preparing us for that place. He's shaping and molding us. And the question is, going back to my other sermon, do you trust Him? Because the foundation of everything that we're dealing with today is basically, it's all about belief. Do we believe God? Do we believe that He is who He says He is and that He's going to keep His promise? That's where we're at. That's where He's at. So I'm going to ask you this question again so you don't forget it, because I want you to keep it with you through the week. Are you coming to be taught or are you coming to be transformed? And I want to be transformed, and that's where I was at with God. I'm like, I want to be transformed. I don't want to do the things that I used to do. I don't want to think the way that I used to think. I don't want circumstances to impact me in the way that they have been impacting me. I want to be transformed. This is something that I did in me. I want to be different. I want to be better. I want to be stronger. I want to be more disciplined. I say these things, but do I see Christ? Do you see me? Do you see the text? Do you see this opportunity as just a teaching moment? Or are you going to allow this moment to transform you? This message, if you get this thing right here, it's going to set you on a path to transformation. And the Holy Spirit is already working in you, for those of you who've accepted Him into your life. But I'm telling you right now, this thing, that question got me. Then come for the music. I can't wait to see what God is about to unpack as I go through this thing. He's like, "Don't you know already?" No, I don't. You know, like I know I study and I know I look at it, but I'm so anxious for the transformation that's about to happen. He says, now, verse 16, "Now behold, one came and said to him, Good teacher." Good teacher. He wants to be taught, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? That I may have eternal life. I didn't reveal this to you yet, but this guy that we're reading about, he's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, okay? And they call him the rich, get that in your mind, the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler. He had it going on. He had it going on. He had money. Yeah? He was young. He had to be a man of stature in this age because from what I've studied, it looks like he was some type of magistrate. And he was a ruler at a young age. So this man had it going on and he was devout. Because for him to be able to come out in public and say that he had kept all these five commandments, that it was really six, but five out of the ten that Jesus mentioned and saying, I did that since my youth. So he was a man that was striving to follow God. He was rich. He was young, all right, and he had influence, he had power. But yet there was something inside of him that took him to the master. Now get it though, he missed something, and I think we miss this when we come into the church. And I think I miss it. I miss it any time that, you know, something pushes one of my trigger buttons and I just lose my mind and my focus. He missed something right here. And this is something that I can't let go. He missed who Jesus was. He didn't see it. And I think sometimes I can only speak for me. Sometimes I forget who Jesus actually is. He came to him and he says, good teacher. Now that is one of the things that Jesus is. That's one of the things that he does. But lo, everybody in this room, y'all know who, if you know Jesus, like I know Jesus, he's a lot more than a teacher, yes? He's that one when the tears coming down your face and you in your room and you can barely hold it together. He's the one whose presence comes in and comforts you. He's the one who, when you didn't have ends to meet to pay this bill and you prayed and you gave your last, that the very last moment, it came through. He's that one when that relationship looked like it was over and it couldn't be restored and that all was lost. Miraculously, you prayed and it was fixed. I don't know about your testimony. He's the one that when I was addicted to weed and drinking all the time, that I was calling upon his name. He is the one who said, I'm coming to get you. I ain't forgot about you. I see exactly where you are. Maybe y'all story ain't this. Maybe y'all ain't bad. Like I'm bad. I'm messed up. But Jesus, I'm telling you what, this is the one who said, I forgive you. This is the one when I was depressed that said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is the one who came to me and said, Andre, I'm going to guide you. With me, all things are possible. It's been a long year for my family. It's been a long year for me. Man, and what he's done in my life. Sometimes I see him as a teacher. Oh, you died for my sins. Thank you very much. I'll take that gift. Thank you. And then we kind of walk away, right? So the question is, do you have Jesus in proper focus this morning? Do you have him in proper focus? He said, now behold, I one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And this is a huge thing in the church right now, like causing big division. Big division. Okay? Big division. You got one group of Christians who believe kind of like sort of that like, I don't want to get too deep, but once saved, always saved, no matter how I live my life, yeah? And then you got another group of Christians who, this is general, just generally speaking, who believe that, you know, works is how you get to God. That you have to earn God's favor, that you have to earn eternal life. And I kind of want to get into that a little bit. Because he says, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? This dude has everything on earth. He's young. He's rich. He's in charge. But he's experiencing, remember I told you that God placed eternity in your heart? Ooh, we, this path that he's about to take us on today. He placed eternity inside of this young man's heart. And he did one thing right, is that he sought after the source, the true source of eternal life. He didn't know that he was speaking to the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't know. Some of us aren't aware that even here today, that the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is here right now. And he wants to transform you. He wants to transform you right now. It happens here, and then it happens here. He said, what good thing should I do that I may have eternal life? I want to take you to a couple of different scriptures real quick to kind of unpack this thing. Because I don't want to, everybody got your Bibles ready? Okay? So he comes to Jesus, so that was good, but he didn't know who Jesus was. The reason that I know that he didn't know who Jesus was, because look at this, verse 17. He said, so he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. So is that either Jesus is saying, I'm not good, which we know that that's not the case. Yes, he is good. We also know, hindsight 2020, that Jesus is God, yes, on earth. So this line of questioning right here seems a little bit strange. In fact, this whole text kind of seems strange a little bit, because in a minute, it's going to look like Jesus said the path to heaven is following the commandments. Ain't that what we just read a little bit down? Didn't say that? It says, but if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments, yes? And we can walk away and say, all right, all we got to do is keep the commandments. We good. I want to take you to a couple of different scriptures, though. 1st place I want to go, James chapter 2, verse 10. James chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going straight old school. See, y'all be used to all the preachers putting the text on the screen. Now don't nobody know where these books of the Bible at. So see how I use that as an excuse. James chapter 2. We're going to go back to the rear of the Bible. If you don't know where it's at, don't be ashamed to go to your table of contents and figure out where James is. Okay? James chapter 2. Okay? Verse 10, here a couple more pages. Okay, so Jesus tells the young man, comes to Jesus. He says, hey Jesus, I've been seeing all of these miracles and everything that you've been doing. I see the healing you're doing. No one on earth has had this type of power before. You keep teaching about this eternal life thing. Which, you know, I know it's some far and distant place eternal life is, but eternity exists outside of time. So, like, some of eternal life is actually here and now. And so some of that eternity should be, like, spilling out in our lives. I should be experiencing this closeness, this fellowship with God way back to when Adam and Eve was in the garden. We should be experiencing some of that joy, some of that love, some of that peace, some of that compassion, some of that gentleness. Some of that should be coming out now. He's like, Jesus, can you give me that? That's what I'm coming to get. Verse 10, it says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. So get this. He asked Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And he said, keep the commandments. Right? Keep the commandments. He didn't say anything about faith. The whole Bible talks about believing in Christ, right? He didn't say anything about faith. He said, keep the commandments. We're going to look at why he told him this in a second. It's going to mess you up. Mess me up when I seen it. Because isn't that like why a lot of us like don't want to come to church? Isn't that why everything just kind of seems like a farce? Because like God says, keep these commandments. And then all of these Christians, we ain't keeping all of the commandments. I don't keep all the commandments. There's 613 of these of laws in here plus. In Scripture. But if you just go focus on the Ten Commandments by themselves, I'm done. D-U-N, as my friend used to say. Done. But Jesus said, follow the commandments. But it says right here in James chapter 2, verse 10, that for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all the law. Let's run over now to Galatians. Go back a few books. Galatians chapter 3. Touch me, Lord. Touch me. Help me to say what you want me to say. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. He's more than a teacher. Remember, what are we supposed to be? What are we looking at? Being transformed. How are we transformed? Anybody know how we're transformed? Do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. So that's what I've been doing. I've just been renewing my mind. That's when that worship music come on, you listening to it, like listen to the words and like see if your mind aligns with like what's being said. Read scripture and see if your mind aligns with what's being said. Because if it doesn't align with what's being spoken, you need to renew some more. You need to keep on renewing and you need to keep on asking God, like, I want to feel like this. I want to believe like this. I want to live and act and be transformed into this. And he's promised that if we renew our minds with this thing. I didn't get a whole lot of work done this week. I got two contracts going right now. Okay? Cover this up. You know what I'm saying? I didn't get a whole lot of work done this week because I've been renewing my mind so much. And I'm like, God, I don't want to leave your presence. Have you ever been there before? Like, God, I don't want to leave your presence. I don't even want to go to work. I don't even want to sit down in front of this computer because he's been giving me so much. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law. I'm gonna paraphrase that for you. If you're standing on the law, and you don't keep the whole law, you cursed. Is this your foundation? Is this your foundation? Is the law your foundation? We're going to look at this. Let's read a little bit further. Let's read a little verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by what? Faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. See, it's different. It's different rules. It's different. You're controlled by two different things. There's a purpose for the law, and we're going to look at that purpose. We're going to look at the purpose, and we're going to jump back to Matthew chapter 19 here in a second. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Man, listen to this now. In time, in the time realm, this rich young ruler, he didn't realize who Jesus really was. He didn't realize it. He knew that he was a good teacher. He knew that he was a devout man. He knew that he was doing all of these works. He kept hearing about this teaching about eternal life. And he came to Jesus and he asked him, how can I get it? And he responds and says, keep the commandments. Man says, man, I've been keeping the commandments. I've been keeping them. Which specific ones are you talking about? Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Honor your mother and father. All right? Do not give false witness. Then he said one that's not in the 10, but he added it. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, I did all of that. Really? Ooh, Jesus got him. Okay? Jesus got him, but he's leading him somewhere. So the law, you can't be saved by the law. The law don't save you. Following the rules ain't ever going to save you. Satan's number one thing is he wants Christians to just follow rules. Are rules important? Absolutely. They keep us in right relationship with God. They make sure that the blessings of God continue to flow. But just because the blessings are flowing, don't mean that you're not living right. Just because they're not flowing, don't mean that you aren't living right. Just because you see somebody that's rich, you know, see, this at this point in time, just like in our day and age, if we be honest, we believe that those who are rich are blessed, more blessed than we are, right? Deep down inside, there's a part of us that just like, if I had riches, then a lot of that, I wouldn't even be going through half these problems that I'm going through right now. But that's not what Scripture says. I want you to search your heart. This isn't just about money. It's deeper than money. Everybody has their own thing. The rich young ruler, this was his thing. You know why? Because he was rich. So if you're not rich, it may not be your thing. Or you're so poor that it is your thing, and this is, you know what I'm saying? Because if we're honest, we covet, yes. We envy. Some of it, I do. I want more of it. And any opportunity that I can get some more of it, I'm trying to get some more of it, right? Why? Oh, so I can take care of my family, so I can do these things. So money and riches and power, it has a hold on our lives. But God is saying, I need something else to be number one, and it's me. Let's keep running. We're going to go back. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I gotta kind of build this thing out. So we have a rich young ruler. He got everything going on for him. He hears about Jesus Christ being, he's in town, he's healing people, he's blessing people, he's preaching about eternal life. It's all right, cool. I got everything else going. In another version, he went and asked Jesus, how do I inherit eternal life? How do I step into this thing and then I'm perfect? I'm good. And Jesus said, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. Boy, if I came in here today and told y'all, if you want eternal life, keep the commandments. Y'all might agree, but y'all are going to be like, boy, you're going to preach, you're going to feel bad because you know you can't do it. You can get better. There is a level that we can get, all of us can get better. Even those with the Holy Spirit deep down inside of us, we can get better. All right? Are you here to be taught or are you here to be transformed? This thing transformed my mind the way that I'm thinking. And so, and I ain't even got to that part yet, the part that like really hit me. God just gave me this last night. He was like, look, I need you to take them on this little journey. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold your spot. Mark it and go back to Galatians chapter 3. I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord. For those of you who preached before, you know how you walk away from the pulpit and you're like, I was supposed to say that and I didn't say it, but that's okay. God just brought it to my remembrance. I need to say this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. We're going to go there. What is the purpose of the law? What is the purpose of the law? All right. It says, therefore, the law was our tutor. Anybody ever had a tutor before? Anybody ever struggling in math in here? You know, not everybody, but some of you know, I hire tutors as well, you know. It says, verse 24 again, it says, therefore the law was our tutor. Ooh. To bring us to Christ. Let it seep down. Trust me, I ain't trying to entertain you. I'm here so that you can be transformed. This is, I'm telling you, if you follow me, Jesus says to the rich young ruler, if you want eternal life, keep the commandments, the law. Commandments, law, same thing. Right here it says, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. So the thing is, for the rich young ruler, Jesus hadn't went to the cross yet. Jesus knew. We're going to go back. He says the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by what? Faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. And I got to get this in. We got to go over. And I'm going to explain to you why we don't feel that way. So if you go back to John chapter 6, because, see, it's more than just one of us in this room. See, every scripture that I'm going to, it's like going to affect everybody in a different way. Because you know what? I'm about to introduce you to somebody. His name is Jesus, but he goes by another name here in John chapter 6. And you know who he is? He's the bread of life. He's the bread of life. See, ain't nobody been hungry in here before. Somebody ain't, I don't see enough. Y'all ain't seen enough people that's hungry in here. Y'all ain't been hungry? I've been hungry. I'm talking physically hungry. She laughing at me. I'm talking spiritually hungry. I'm talking financially hungry. I'm talking emotional hungry. Anybody ever been hungry before? Man, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus is good to me. We're going to go down to verse 22. Now let's go to 26. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 26. John chapter 6, verse 26. So Jesus had just got done feeding like 5,000 people, right? And like, they tripping. Couple loaves of bread, couple fish. He feed all of these people. Jesus is working all of these miracles, okay? And then he sends his disciples to another city called Capernaum, okay? And Jesus didn't go over there with them. But when they get there, Jesus is there. They like, he had to have done something miraculous. He's just this miraculous person. And yet they still didn't know who he was. Do you know him? Do you know who Jesus is today? Who is he to you? Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled up." God gave the sign so that we would know who he is. But that's not even why they came. They came for the bread. Why are you here today? Are you here to be taught? Or are you here to be transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus? Don't look at me. I apologize for the delivery. He crazy. He got me crazy. He crazy in comparison to the world. Yeah, I'm telling you, look at this thing. He says, you didn't come because I showed you the signs. You should know by now that I am God. Man, I'm telling you right now, people, me included, sometime today, probably multiple times today, we're going to forget that Jesus is God and that Jesus is good and that Jesus has everything lined up for our good and that every circumstance that he allows to come our way, he's going to use it for the good. We're going to forget it. We're going to forget it today. Test yourself and see if I'm telling the truth in this. Jesus said, you didn't come because of the signs I showed you. You should know by now who I am. Why do you call me good? Because unless you're calling me God, don't call me good. Because God is the only one that's good. He said, you didn't come for the signs. You came because I gave you bread. Verse 27. It says, do not labor for the food which perishes. What are we laboring for? What are we working so hard for? For likes on Facebook? For money in our pockets? For a husband? For a wife? For validation, pats on the back, rewards, jobs, prestige. What are we laboring for? Jesus said, don't labor for these things that perish, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. This everlasting life is not some future thing only. It's also in the present moment. He's trying to welcome you into a relationship with him that was severed a long time ago. Believe. Adam and Eve stopped believing. They stopped believing that God had their best in mind. They stopped believing it. They took off on their own. And every time that we take off on our own, we walk into death. We walk into destruction. Not physical death and destruction. Destruction in our finances. Destruction in our emotions. When we stop believing that he is who he said he is, we walk into this thing. He says, do not labor for the food. See, God cursed the earth. He said, from this day forward, you will toil to eat and pull from this land. So we've been in this cycle and we think we got to do all of these works. We got to do these works because we're so used to laboring. We're laboring for light. We're laboring for love. We're laboring for all these things. But God says, don't labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures, which the Son of Man will give you. He's here today to give it to you. Some of you are like, I'm saved already. I'm telling you, he got it for you today. If you're here to be taught, that's cool. If you want to feel good because I'm giving you an empowering word, that's cool. Forget that. God is here today to transform you into his image. He wants you to leave here today and look at that circumstance. I don't know which one it is. That mountain. That addiction, that debtedness, that pain, that depression. He wants you to look at that thing and be transformed by the renewing of your mind today, right now. This ain't got to do with just me teaching. This is about transformation. He says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. This is the thing. This is what they said, and this is what our minds are thinking. What do I got to do? I want that. He's talking like he's experienced this thing called, I've experienced it, and he's going to keep on pulling me deeper and deeper. If you ain't experienced it, oh Lord, please give him the experience. Please give him, let him experience eternal life. Not just some future thing, but here and now in fellowship with you in the trueness of who you are. To know that you know that you know that God got your back. To know that you know that you know that it's going to work out for your good. To know that you know that you know that everything is going to be all right. This is what he said. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? What do we got to do, Minister Andre? Please teach us, what do we have to do? I'm glad you asked me the question, because it says it right here. Jesus answered and said to them, mark this in your Bible. I don't care what you're facing. It don't matter what the circumstances. Job loss, homelessness, been there, done that. Alcohol, done it. Drugs, done it. Adultery, done it. Don't matter what the circumstances is right now. I'm telling you right now, this right here brought me to today, to where I am able to declare to you the excellencies of Jesus Christ. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. Man, I'm trying to tell y'all today, he's not just a teacher. Do you see him for who he is? Is he that? Man, I see a whole bunch of people celebrating rock stars, movie stars, politicians. Man, do we understand who Jesus is, though? He said, this is the work that I need you to do. I need you to believe in me. And from there, your works is going to flow from that. Because if you truly believe in who Jesus is, everything changes. I got some very important decisions to make in the next like week or two. Ain't got nothing to do with a job or nothing. I got some decisions that I got to make. And every time I've been studying in Scripture, he's like, which decision are you going to make? And I know the right answer. And yet I still have been trying to justify doing the wrong thing. I've been doing it. I'm telling you through and through. He know it. And I'm confessing and hoping, you know. God, like, make the right choice, Andre. Make the right choice. How? Do I believe that who Jesus... Do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? I don't care if baptized, that's great, that's what you're supposed to do. It's not enough, son. It ain't enough. You think it's teaching. God wants you to be transformed into his image. Glad to see you today here, brother. God wants you to be transformed into his image. It don't matter how much of the Bible you know. It ain't all about following rules. God wants you to be transformed into his image. And then he wants to have a relationship with you. Right here, you feel it deep down inside. That's why you keep on trying to like stuff it with different things. Not just you, everybody, me included. We keep trying to replace him with these things because he put eternity in our hearts. And then the law is the tutor. It's supposed to draw us into him. We're supposed to feel bad. But the question is, are you turning to him? Or are you turning to your job? Are you turning to your favorite soap opera? Are you turning to Netflix? Are you turning to alcohol? Are you turning to sex? Like, what are you turning to? Do we believe that he is who he says he is? Do you believe? This ain't for me. This is for you. Like, do you believe it? He said, this is the work that I need you to do. That you believe in him who he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform? He already performed the signs. God has already showed you the sign. You don't need me standing up here preaching to you talking about the signs. He brought you this far. I done seen almost every one of y'all in here in tears. Through worship, through circumstances. And when Jesus showed you, when he first showed you the light. You remember that? When he first showed you the light. How disconnected are we from when he first showed you the light? Jesus said, I want you to be transformed. Believe in me. Not just up here. Believe in me so that it changes how you live. It changes the decisions that you're making. Yes, there's going to be sacrifice. Yes, there's going to be discomfort. Yes, there's going to be things that you don't want to do. But do you trust me? When Abraham, we talked about Abraham last time I was here. Ooh, if you read from Hebrews what Abraham thought, he's like, man, God can kill my son. He must be able to raise people from the dead. He can do everything else. You know what I'm saying? Look at your circumstances like, God, you promised me this. How could you take it? Man, God got a plan that supersedes all of that. And the number one thing that Satan wants us to do is not to believe in who he is. Everything that Satan does is to get us to distrust him. He wants us to distrust one another. Man, he got you. He got you, bro. He got you. It don't feel like it because he got you. You know what I'm saying? He's a strong power. There's an anchor in heaven that's attached into your soul. And it doesn't have anything to do with who you are. It has everything to do with the bread of life. And today, if you will put your trust in him, not just yesterday, not a decision that you made a long time ago. If you will put your trust in him in every circumstance, he got you. I'm going to take you back to Matthew chapter 19 and we're going to get out of here. See, y'all got me worked up today. Y'all got me worked up. Because this young man who had everything together, he had all the money. And I was reading about him jealous. You know, he got money. He young. I ain't young no more. I'm kind of still young. I know my seniors are looking at me like, boy, you young, please. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, he's young. He's rich. He got power. That's what we want. He's been trying to follow God. He got all of this stuff, but he feels this lack on the inside of him. That's why he went to Jesus. So if you're searching out for any one of those things, know that you're trying to fill a void that can't be filled with anything or anyone but Jesus. You're trying to fill a void. If you're chasing money, if you're chasing prestige, if you're trying to renew your youth other than to honor your temple, you're chasing a feeling that you will never obtain. It's only God. It's only God. So we're going back. That's where he is. He said, Jesus, I did all of that. The young man said to him, all these things, verse 20. I'm in Matthew chapter 19, verse 20. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? See, he knew. He knew he was lacking something. He knew it. You do too. You do too. And if you don't know, you need some law. Keep them commandments then. Keep them commandments. If you don't know that you're lacking, I got some commandments over here to beat you up with. Jesus says it. Why? Why do I want to beat you up with the commandments? Everybody, man, these Christians, they judging. It's the tutor. You know who my tutors are? Them kids right there. They my tutors. I'm telling you what, because God is always, he goes, here go the law, here go my kids, and they just tutor me all the way to Jesus. Verse 21, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be complete, if you want to be mature, go and sell what you have and give to the poor. See, that's where everybody stops right there, though. Whenever you hear the story of the rich young ruler, they stop right there and say, man, see, Jesus wants you to give all your money away and just be poor. You see that right there? That's not what the teaching is right here. That's what that man needed to do. That's what that man needed to do. That man was rich, probably beyond anything that we could all imagine. And God knew that those riches had his heart. What is the thing that has your heart? What is the thing that has your heart? Outside of God, because it's idolatry. Whatever it is idolatry. And if you read the Old Testament about what God does to idolators. It ain't good. I think it's just a demonstration. Idolatry just leads us into this crazy place. This money had a hold on him. This relation, is it a relationship? Is it a desire to even do something good that has a hold on you like this? God says, go give that, go sell that. Give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. All this full instructions. Whatever it is that has a hold on you that's keeping you from doing what God wants you to do, He wants you to let it go. You got to let it go. He asked Abraham and he just sacrificed your son. He didn't end up having to do it, but he almost did it. And so he may take you that far. Are you here to be taught or are you here to be transformed? Is the question. I'm almost done, but I don't care. Because I ain't there yet. I'm not even at the place that he wants me to get you to yet. He said, verse 21, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, surely I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I wanted to touch briefly on this right now. Some of y'all out here think this ain't talking about me because I ain't rich. Let me explain something to you. If you live in the United States of America, okay, you're in about the top 2% of the world population in terms of wealth. You got to go to a third world country and see it to understand like what I'm saying. When you got sewage in the streets, okay, because they don't have sewer systems, and then they don't have like landfills like we got. They just got trash mountains all over the place. Then you got babies walking in the streets naked in the sewage. And then you got tent cities and cardboard boxes and makeshift electricity running from generators all throughout the city in disorder, and it stinks, and it's disease everywhere. If you live in the United States of America, you may not feel it, but you are literally, I'm talking statistically, in the top 2% of the world. It's hard for you, for Americans, to be Christians. We're concerned with many things. We're caught up in so many different things. We want from our peers, but not from God. We're kind of just disconnected from that thing. He says, surely I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. How many of y'all, you ain't even got to raise your hand. I'm going to raise mine, even though He's bringing me through. How many of y'all have been experiencing a disconnect with the Lord, though? You ain't got to raise it. You can raise it in your heart. If you've been experiencing this disconnect, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I ain't talking about the ultimate objective. I'm talking the here and now. Are you in the kingdom? Are you in the kingdom? Are you in fellowship with God? Are you experiencing His love? And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then his disciples heard it. They were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? It was funny because I didn't understand it at first because the disciples ain't rich. They was poor men, most of them. But it made sense to me after I looked at it. Couple things. They looked at this person as if he was if he can't make it, how can I make it? Some of them, though, were just so covetous. They had such a covetous spirit. They wanted to be rich. And they were working to be rich. They were working to have power and rulership over others. And if God is saying, man, it's hard for them to get in, how am I going to get in? That's okay, because with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Before I close this thing out, ask yourself, is Jesus just a teacher? Is he just a man that you read about in a book that makes you feel good at night? That makes you feel better maybe about dying? Because when I die, you know, at least if I believe in Jesus, I can get into heaven. If that's who he is to you, you don't know him yet. You don't know him yet. Some of you do know him and you just kind of drifted away. You kind of just like been going through the motions. Go back to the cross where you first saw the light. What happened when you first saw the light? You knew that you were a sinner. You saw who God was and you saw, man, when you come into the presence of God, a lot of times you're not going to feel good. You ain't going to feel good if you ain't acknowledging. If your heart is hard and you think you good, you're not going to be good when you come into his presence. But that's okay. Because he wants you to repent. He wants you to confess. It can happen today. It can happen today. You can renew your faith in Jesus right now. I ain't going to ask you to come up, but you can come up if you want to. You ain't got to come up here. Go up there. In here, in your mind, in your heart, and say, God, I've drifted. God, I've lost sight. God, I've been treating you like some fictional character in a book, God. And I confess that to you right now, and I ask for your forgiveness, God. Mold and shape me into the creature that you created me to be. Help me to be in right relationship and right understanding of your majesty, God. Help me to understand that you and you alone are good, God. Every circumstance that we find ourselves in, God, I know that you're using them for our good, God. Help me to be strong. Help me to endure. Help me to keep my eyes on you and not on the storm, God. Strengthen us now and as we go. Thank you for your love, Father. Thank you for your word. It continues to guide us. It continues to bless us. Help us to do the work of God. Help us to believe in God and in the one whom He sent, Jesus. Jesus the Christ. There's things that we're facing right now, God. There's mountains that are before us. There's mountains and there's pain in our past, Father God. But right now, we need you. Help us to leave it at the foot of the cross, God. Help us to take it to the altar, Father God. Help us to give it all to you and help us to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding, Lord God, in your love and in your joy. Dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. May the sweet communion of your Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide henceforth and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.